Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Riverside Baptist Church, and welcome to Facebook Live. As you can see, I'm not Pastor Steve, so Pastor Steve is not feeling well, and he asked me to fill in for him this morning, and I'm so glad that you're watching this. I have some great, great news for you. And I'll be getting to that in just a few moments. But first, I want to give you a pre-Christmas present, a pre-Christmas gift. Now, who doesn't like a free pre-Christmas gift? I like gifts, especially before Christmas, if you can find those gifts, unwrap them just a little bit, and figure out what your gift is. So today I want to teach you something that you may not know. You may know it. Some of our students here at Riverside Baptist Church, they know a lot about this. But I know that 2020 has been a year that most of us would like to forget. But in the midst of this tragic event in our nation, there's great hope. And that's this, that this event, this COVID, did not take God by surprise. And this truth gives me the greatest of hope. And instead of just dealing with my pain, I deal with the fact that I am a Christian and God is in control. And I also know this, that this pandemic, I believe, if we embrace this opportunity, that as Christians, this can be the opportunity of our lifetime right now to point Jesus, point people to Jesus. And I think that's what I want to develop more as the next year takes place. More about evangelism, more about telling others about Jesus Christ. Not so much about how I feel, knowing that God's in control, but letting Him be in control. And God's Word has the power to change unbelievers' lives and even heal their lives. And Jesus is the only hope for humanity. He's our only hope. Only Jesus can give us peace. And there will be no peace or no hope for you if you're not a Christian, because only Jesus can provide that. And if you're already a Christian, I call on you to embrace this pre-Christmas gift that I'm going to give you this morning. And I want you to understand that you do have the power to celebrate something in your life. And here's the thing about it. As Christians, we cannot base our happiness on circumstances, because as you know, circumstances rapidly change. So no matter the circumstances, God's in control. And you know, this just thrills my soul. I get so excited knowing that I'm not in control, but that God's in control. And I hope you feel that same enthusiasm. And I hope today will be a day when you learn something, that your enthusiastic level will go through the roof. And your testimony will be magnificent, because you'll understand more about your Savior, Jesus Christ, and also yourself. So the first thing that I want to show you is the power of a eyewitness testimony. Now, if you have your Bibles out at home, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. If not, just listen to this. I'm going to read it for you. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. And it says this, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed to me. And this is Paul writing this. And he's talking about a personal encounter and other people's personal encounters with a risen Jesus Christ. And he says, this is what was passed on to me and what's most important, that Christ died for our sins, just as the Scriptures said. He was buried, and He was raised from the dead on the third day as the scriptures say. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died by now. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, Paul says this. He says, I saw him too, long after the others, as though I had been born at the wrong time. For I am the least of all the apostles, and I am not worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church of God. So, with this list of eyewitnesses, Paul's reminding us of something. He's reminding us that there is a historical basis for our Christian faith. Christianity is ultimately rooted in real events, not simply theories or beliefs with no evidence. Everything that we know about Jesus is true. Not only do we have the accounts about him in God's Word, but we have secular writers who have also written about Jesus Christ. So, listen to this. Hidden here in Paul's personal account about his eyewitness testimony is a key fact concerning James. James was Jesus' half-brother. They shared the same mother, but not the same father. So I would say he was his half-brother. And he grew up with Jesus. So let's talk about James for just a moment. What event changed his life? Well, think about this. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I have. And I've taught this. What event changed his life? How did he go from unbelief to belief? Well, here's what changed his life. He witnessed the resurrected Jesus Christ. And he became an eyewitness to the fact that Jesus was alive. And here's what he knew about Jesus' death. No one came off of a cross alive. And James knew this. And he knew that his half-brother Jesus had not come down off of that cross still alive. And he knew that the Roman soldiers, he knew that they were brutal people. They were ruthless. And they were professionals. So they very well knew how to handle their job as a soldier. And they were protecting Jesus. Excuse me just a second. And that also meant that if Jesus came down off of that cross alive, that they would be killed. And so they were ruthless people. James knew this. And he knew that Jesus' death was real because he saw that spear had been thrust into Jesus' heart. So he knew that Jesus was dead. And also he knew that death is defined by burial. So he knew that that Jesus was dead and that he had been buried. And he knew that if you were buried, you were considered dead, just like today. And so he knew all of that. Let me say something. There are moments in time that you just don't forget. Moments in time that define your life. And this was that moment for James. When he sees Jesus alive after he comes out of the grave. So what does that make him? That makes him an eyewitness to the fact that Jesus had risen from the grave. And he became a believer. Let me use this illustration for you to illustrate this. Because the most powerful event in any trial is a personal eyewitness testimony. And that's what we have. That's what Paul's talking about when he speaks about a lot of people, 500, seeing Jesus at one time. He saw Jesus. And if you'll look in verse 7, it says, then he was seen by James. This is that critical moment in James' life. He becomes an eyewitness to the fact that Jesus is alive. He has this personal testimony. And most powerful event in a trial, if someone goes to trial and you've witnessed what they've done and you testify that such and such has done such and such and you saw him, well, guess what? He's probably going to prison, or she is going to prison. So the most powerful event in a trial is a personal eyewitness testimony. Let me use this illustration. Suppose next year, after I preach, I invite as many people in the church and to go to get some steak at the steakhouse. And not only that, we're going to go by and get us some ice cream. And I invite as many as want to come. Pastor Steve, he's away, and he's asked me to preach for him. And after that, we all load up. We take both of our buses, and we have about 30 people on our buses that want a free meal and free ice cream. And so going down the road, I'm driving one of those buses. And I decide to pull into a convenience store, and I tell everybody on our bus and kind of go over and tell the driver of the other bus what I'm going to do, that I need to go inside for just a moment. Because I'm going to pay for all this. The church is not going to pay for your steak and for your ice cream. I'm going to pay for it personally because I love you. So I don't want to take you out to eat. So you see me go into the convenience store, and you can see the clerk there. And before I go in, I reach into my pocket, and I pull out a pair of pantyhose. And I put that pantyhose over my head. And you're sitting there, and you're watching this, and you're thinking, what is Pastor Kim doing? He just put pantyhose on his head. And I go on in, and you're sitting there. You're mesmerized because you can see me. You can see the clerk, and you're wondering, what in the world is going on? And suddenly, you see me pull out something out of my pocket that looks like a gun. And you're thinking, did Pastor Kim just pull a gun on that woman? And then you see her throw her hands up like this. And you say, she's holding her hands up. He's robbing this store. And then you see her reaching in and getting money and putting it in a bag and everything. And I turn around and I walk out. And you can see she's just frantic. And I walk out, I pull the pantyhose off of my head, stuff it back into my pocket, and I get back in. And you say, Pastor Kim, did you just rob that store? And I said, no, I didn't just rob that store. I'm a preacher. Why would I do something like that? And you say, well, we saw you put on that pantyhose over your head. And I said, yeah, but if you know it's real humid today, and humidity, it makes your hair frizz. So I didn't want my hair to frizz. And they said, but you went in there and you pulled a gun out on that woman. And I said, well, it was a gun, but I was just showing her my new gun I got for Christmas. And they said, well, that's not true. And I said, oh, yes, it is. And then they said this. They said, well, she had her hands up. And I said, well, she had her hands up because she knows I'm a preacher, and she was praising Jesus this morning. And they said, but you robbed that store. And I said, no, I did not rob her. She simply said that she hadn't paid her tithe for five years. And she was just giving me her tithe money. And you say, well, that's not true. And I said, well, it is true. Let's just forget about it. We're going to drive on to get your steak and your ice cream. We get about 5 miles down the road, and all of a sudden, I see blue lights behind me. And everybody says, there's blue lights behind you. They're going to get you. And I said, well, I'm going to pull over. So I pull over. And guess what? They arrest me. I was one of those dumb criminals. I didn't realize that on the side of, I knew, but I didn't think that woman would see that on the side of those buses it said Riverside Baptist Church. She just calls the police. They pull me over. They put me in jail. I'm on the news. I'm on News 13, and they say, oh my goodness, this preacher has robbed the store. And not only that, the congregation, maybe 30 of them, saw him do it. What kind of man was this? And so here's the thing. We go to trial, and all those people that saw me go in there and rob that church, they testified against me. Because remember, I told you that the most powerful event in a trial is a personal eyewitness testimony. And all those people, they saw what I did. They testify to that fact. And guess what? I go to prison for a long time. And you see, James, he came face to face with his sin of unbelief when he saw Jesus. When he realized that Jesus was once again alive. And he became a personal eyewitness to the fact that Jesus had risen from the grave. And here's the thing about it. Before James accepted Jesus as his personal Savior, Jesus was just a part of his life. But now, Jesus becomes his life. You see, there's a difference in knowing about Jesus than there is knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Big difference. So, this moment in time that defined James' life, this then becomes his eyewitness testimony. James would eventually be a leader in the church. He would eventually die because of his faith. And let me tell you this. If this was a myth, if this had not happened, why was James willing to die when people wanted to put him to death, wanted to kill him because of his ministry? Why? Because he knew what he had seen. He became an eyewitness to the fact that his Savior was alive. And not only that, he was willing to die for that. He didn't change his mind when they started to kill him. He didn't say, well, just wait a minute. He didn't say this. He didn't say, well, I really didn't see this, so please don't kill me. No, he didn't say that. He knew that what he had seen was real. And all these other people, they knew that what they had seen was real. Now take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalm 22. We're going to look at Psalm 22, 12 through 18 right now. I'll give you a second to turn there. If not, I'll read this for you. I'm going to turn over there myself. And I'm telling you, you are going to be amazed. This is amazing, truly amazing what I'm going to show you right now. And I've taught this to several people. I taught about it last year when our church went to West Virginia. I did just a few minutes about this passage of Scripture. Now, most people, even non-Christians, can tell you about the 23rd Psalm, but they can't tell you anything about Psalm 22. But it is one of the magnificent passages in the Old Testament, in the whole Word of God even. And I want to, first we looked at the power of an eyewitness testimony, but now we're going to look at the power of a fulfilled prophecy. Now, what is prophecy? You may not be a Christian, or you may be new to Christianity. What is prophecy? It's simply this. It's looking ahead to the future from the present. And that's what we have in this passage of Scripture. Not only in this passage of Scripture, but other passages of Scripture that talk about Jesus. So, this is looking ahead to the future from the present. And so listen to this, and then I'm going to use an illustration about this that you can understand. This says, my enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like roaring lions attacking their prey, they come at me with open mouths. My life is poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. Then Jesus said this. He said, my heart is like wax, melting within me. My strength is dried up like sun-baked clay. And he said, my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. Then he said this. He said, my enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count every bone in my body. My enemies stare at me and gloat, and they divide my clothes among themselves and throw dice for my garments. This psalm is known as a messianic psalm because this psalm is talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is a prophetic description of Jesus on the cross. But I'm telling you, there's more to that than what I just read. There's more to that than just what I said. We have Jesus' thoughts while he's hanging on the cross. We have them in the Old Testament before he ever was killed on the cross, before he ever gave up his life on the cross for us so that we could have life. He died so that we could have life. And here we have a description of him on the cross. But there's more. And this is so magnificent. Listen to this. This passage of Scripture was written 1,000 years before Jesus would go to the cross. 1,000 years before Jesus would go to the cross. And we have his thoughts while he was on the cross, written for us 1,000 years before he would go, before he got up on that cross, before they nailed him to the cross. To me, that is astounding. It's amazing. The power of a fulfilled prophecy that we have Jesus' thoughts while he's on the cross. And here's another thing. You mean there's more? Oh, yeah. There's much more. And this is also amazing. It's astounding. This is big. Really, really, really big. This was written 800 years before crucifixion was invented to punish and kill criminals. 800 years. This was written 800 years before crucifixion was even invented. Can you imagine that? We have a world. We have people who do not believe in Jesus Christ. But I believe that if the world would just pay attention to the facts, that they could make an intelligent decision and a heartfelt decision concerning their relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, that's why I'm telling this to you today. And also, I'm telling this to you because if you are an unbeliever, I want you to know that you have the power to overcome your unbelief. You have the power to break away from Satan's stronghold. He has a stronghold on your eternal life. Right now, if you die and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you will go to hell. But if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go to heaven. And you have to admit that what I've been able to show you today, it's great. And I've been praying even, that this would change your mind, that you realize that everything about Jesus is true. And everything God's Word says about Him is true. And then you rally around that truth, and you become a Christian. And also, here's something for us as non-Christians. You know, I told you when I first started in the introduction that we need to embrace this opportunity that we have, because so many people are hurting. So many people are out of work. So many businesses are closing. We have the greatest opportunity, I believe, in our own lifetime to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And you may speak to someone in the future and they say, well, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure that everything's real like the Bible says. And let me tell you, so this is something that you can use. You can ask me, you can have my notes. This is something that you can use to maybe tell them about what you know about Jesus. And you can explain to them what I've explained to you today about the power of an eyewitness testimony, about the power of fulfilled prophecy. And you tell them about this, and maybe that'll give them hope. Maybe that's going to be something that's going to push them over the edge, and they become a Christian. So do that. And we have so much information, but listen to me, we have so little time. We do not know when Jesus is going to come back. We don't know when the rapture is going to happen. That's the next big event on God's calendar. If God doesn't come before the end of my lifetime, before I die, then the rapture will be after I die. But I'm telling you this, the rapture's going to happen. And people are dying every single day without Jesus Christ. And the Word of God has the power to break that stronghold that Satan has on their life, their eternal life, because without Jesus, they're headed for hell. And they don't realize what hell is all about. But hell is a place of torment that was initially designed for Satan and the fallen angels, which are now called demons. It was designed to punish them. So if hell was designed to punish Satan and demons, then it's going to be horrific for humans when they die and they go to hell. And here's the last thing. I want to talk about Psalm 23 for just a moment, and then we'll be through. Because if you become a Christian and you look at Psalm 23, you may have heard about it, you may not, but you look at this and you think about it, that if you turn all the my, I, and me's in this passage of Scripture, those are personal pronouns, and if you just simply insert your name in the beginning here, this will mean the world to you. And it says this. This says, if you insert your name in this first personal pronoun, which is my, you can read this every single day, and it'll thrill your soul. Every time I read it, I'm thrilled to know that God is with me, not only in this life, but He'll be with me when I'm in eternity. Because I'm a Christian. I've accepted Jesus. I understand the truths that the Bible talked about. I understood that. I studied it. I knew what Jesus had done. And I knew that Jesus was drawing me to Himself because He loves me. He didn't want to see me go to hell. He doesn't want to see anyone go to hell. It's in us to embrace the truth. We're the ones that do it. No one else can save us. Jesus is the only person that can save us. He's the only person that did something for us that no other person would ever do. And that was die on the cross. So listen to this, and then we'll be through. The Lord is Kim Milner's Savior. He is my shepherd. And I, Kim Milner, I have everything I need. And He lets me rest in green meadows. And He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. And even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I, Kim Milner, will not be afraid. Because I can't be afraid if I have a Savior. I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect me and comforts me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. And You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So here's the challenge. If you cannot substitute your name right here, then you're not a child of God. If you want to become a child of God, you simply need to pray this. You can just pray it out loud if you're by yourself, or you can just pray it to where only Jesus can hear it. But pray this. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need a Savior. So please forgive me of my sins. I accept You today as my Savior. Please forgive me. I want to live in heaven with You. Let me tell you something. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, you will be saved. And I pray that if you did not pray that prayer right now, I pray that you'll do that, because we're not guaranteed another breath as humans. So I pray that you will accept Jesus as your Savior, or you'll think about it and you'll study. And if you didn't pray to accept Him today, that you will another day. But please don't wait. Do it right now before Satan talks you out of it. Because Satan, he'll try to talk you out of it. He'll try to tell you, oh, you're not that bad of a person. And you don't really do anything, you know, except what other people do. Well, that's not the point. The point is that when we as humans were born, we were born with the sin of unbelief. And that sin of unbelief is what we have to come to terms with first. We were all born with it. So that makes us all sinners. We're all sinful people. That's why everyone needs to be saved. So if you prayed that prayer and you want some more information, simply look on our website here at Riverside Baptist Church and let us know what you prayed, if you've been saved, or maybe you need some answers to some questions that you have. Pastor Steve is available here during the week, and he'd be more than happy to help you. So let me pray, and we'll be through. Dear Lord, thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for each person that has tuned in today on Facebook Live. And we've been praying for everyone that's listening now. I just pray that you'll have a great rest of the day, a great week, and enjoy what Jesus has done for us. And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, and the only hope for humanity. Amen.